Chapter 21. Was it to enjoy the beauty of the starry night that Philip Berger left the farm road toward 10 o'clock and traveled down the lonely road? No. He was tired out after a long day's work under the blazing sun, and could have wished nothing better than to stretch himself on his bed and sleep. But an imperious urge caused him to hasten his steps on the road, dimly lighted by the moon. Presently he branched off, pushing his way through the bushes, and, helped by his flashlight, reached the hut, from which a light shone. Pressing his face to the window, he saw a young fellow lying on the sacks, reading. The book hid his face until a slight, involuntary sound made by the watcher caused him to sit up, startled, with a terrified air. Philip recognized him then. It was Cyril. His bandaged arm, his pallor, his resemblance to a trapped animal, moved Philip to pity. The lamp went out, and he was relighted. Philip slipped back a little, leaning against the wall of the hut, as he waited in deep shadow, not seeing that Cyril divined his presence. At some time, the key grated in the lock, and the door opened cautiously. Cyril, masked and holding a pistol, stepped out and peered around. Without losing a moment, Philip sprang forward, seized the pistol, which he flung to a distance, and quickly mastered the younger boy, who struggled fiercely with cries of fear and rage. "Who are you? Let me go, you scoundrel! You're hurting me, and I can't defend myself!" "Don't struggle, Cyril," said Philip calmly. "I am not an enemy, but a friend. Let me come inside. I want to speak to you." The unhappy chief of the JOS no longer resisted, and they entered the hut, now in darkness. "Light up the lamp and let us have a little chat, Cyril. I want to explain my reason for coming here." The boy glared at him angrily. "Oh, I know very well what brought you. Patrick has betrayed me. You want to send me back to that horrible prison of a place. But I won't go. I'd rather die." He sprang up and made a dash for the door. Philip seized him by the collar and made him sit down again, planting himself against the door as a safeguard. "Cyril, just listen quietly to me," he said sternly. "Patrick has not betrayed you. By saying that, you gave yourself away. As for me, I certainly might have had suspicions, but I came tonight to hold out a helping hand. I love you, Cyril, and I want to rescue you from this life of misery and dishonesty into which you have fallen." "I don't believe you. Besides, I have no need of anyone's help. If only people would leave me alone, that's all I ask." "Your so-called freedom is only slavery to a cruel master who wants to destroy you." "I don't understand you." "You think you're having your own way. In reality, you're following out the devil's plans, down a dark road that gives no peace or happiness." "Freedom is the only happiness I want." "Cyril, haven't you a father and mother who love you?" "My father died 2 years ago. He was a drunkard. He never did anything but beat us, my mother and me." "And your mother, she died last year. Who looks after you now?" "My guardian. He detests me, and I return it with interest. He forced me to be apprenticed as a mechanic, though I wanted to be a sailor like my grandfather." "What do you expect to do now?" "Decided to go to France and find a way to earn my living while I am waiting to offer as a ship's boy. I'd have gone before this, only I'm waiting for my arm to heal. I tore it jumping over some barbed wire." "Show it to me," said Philip, sitting down again. Cyril unrolled a makeshift bandage, which covered a very swollen arm with a deep purple wound. "You have a bad infection. You must see a doctor." "It's not worth the trouble," said Cyril, his face contorted with pain. "It was worse than this last week. I had fever. Hardly managed to go and find something to drink. The doctor gave me a good remedy, and I'm getting well." "How long have you lived in this hut?" "About 3 weeks. I worked for a few days on the motor road, under a false name. My arm got too bad. I took refuge here." "Listen, Cyril, you're not going to stay here. What have you had to eat since you escaped? You're nearly thin enough to see through. You'll be seriously ill soon. Come to my home. We will care for you till your time is up. I shall have to contact your guardian." "That's useless," muttered Cyril. "My guardian won't listen to you, and he has all authority over me. Let me get away to France. That was why I took the money from Patrick. It's not a theft. We made a pact that we'd help each other. I intend to pay him back as soon as I've earned something across the frontier. Sailor's life is what I want. Let me go." "How old are you, Cyril?"
17.
"Do you know that you could get an excellent post on board ship as a mechanic, and you'd be much better paid than the seamen?" A gleam of interest showed on the boy's haggard face. "Cyril, we're going to make a pact, as you did. You're going to return the cash box to me. It belongs to me. You haven't spent the money yet?"
"No, I haven't even succeeded in opening the wretched thing," said the boy, handing over the mysterious box to Philip, who couldn't repress a smile.
"Good. Now, I promise you not to reveal your hiding place. Tomorrow I'll bring you food. Then I'll go to see your guardian. Give me your word that you won't run off before hearing the result of my visit. I shall try to get permission for you to come to my home for a time.
My father has the confidence of the magistrates, who have placed more than one young fellow with us. You'll finish your apprenticeship. After that, we shall see. The sea continues to call you. We would not keep you back. Do you know, you'd be very useful to us if you agreed to join the recreated youth group, because the aim is to earn money to get a minivan for Mr. Mollett. Your help would be valuable. Cyril looked searchingly at Philip. No one had ever spoken to him as man to man so kindly. Could it really be just a snare to entrap him? To live, as he was doing, in constant fear of discovery was certainly not the freedom he had dreamed of. Dare he trust this proposal? The sincerity in Philip's face at last banished his hesitation. He gave him his hand, saying, "I will stay." "I trust your word, Cyril. Good night. You can trust me." Philip went out, shutting the door. His weariness had vanished. After a few steps, he stooped and picked up something, which he put in his pocket. "I thank thee, Lord," he prayed, "for watching over him. What harm he might have done." A silent prayer went up from his heart for the orphaned lad he had just left. The straying sheep needed so desperately the shepherd's care.